Hi, this is Eric Stromquist. Welcome to episode 215 of Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast for the week ending February 19th, 2016. I am joined, and you are joined, by the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We've already got numerous questions. Our Control Trends community wants to know, what did the man, the myth, the legend do for Valentine's Day? Kenny, welcome to the show, and you got to answer that question right up front, buddy.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Always good to be here, Eric. What did we do for Valentine's Day? My wife and I had a nice quiet evening, and we actually postponed the celebration for this weekend. Tonight, we're going to go to a movie, and then we're going out. We're going to go to a place called Jurgles. They play in a variety of music, so it's a good spot to go out for people that like the music that we do, and that's going to be our Valentine's. So we had a nice quiet night on Valentine's Day, and now we're going to celebrate tonight. What did you do on Valentine's Day?
Well, dude, you would think now that I'm on my fourth wife that I would not make this classic rookie error. For some of you millennials out there that listen to us, listen up, because I tell you what, boy, did I fall into it again. So my wife, who I absolutely love and adore, about 2 or 3 weeks ago says she'd like to get a Apple Watch. And so I said, sure, why don't you get an Apple Watch? It can be my Valentine's present. Let's not do anything else for each other for Valentine's Day. If you just get me this Apple Watch for Valentine's Day, that's good enough. All right, so. Rookie mistake. It's never enough. So Valentine's Day comes along and I don't get her flowers, do anything that I normally do. So dead tired on the 14th. You know, we got the two small kids, so we weren't going to go out or anything. But, you know, so I didn't do anything because she said we didn't have to do anything, that the watch was it, right? So dead tired, been working, come up about 12:30 at night, about to fall asleep. I get a nudge on the shoulder. Something wrong. What is something wrong? You normally always do something for me for Valentine's Day. I can't believe you didn't do anything this year. I said, well, I thought we agreed. So our millennials out there, never make that mistake. If they want a present in advance, you still got to get them something on the big day. So that's that being said, Kenny Smyers, I'm in, kind of in the doghouse. So I got plenty of time to talk because my wife's not talking to me right now. So will we have a first big dog?
Well, let's just reset after that one. I'm sorry to hear that, but you can always make up for it. Remember, it's not over. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. I
was going to say it's not over until the fat lady sings. But see, if I say that, I'm in big trouble too, right? You call me fat, so.
Well, she's Anna's anything but fat. She's amazing. No,
she is. Amazing.
Very attractive woman. What's first up is Therese Sullivan's How 2016 Control Trends Award Goers Made It Their Night. And Therese, of course, is the owner, editor of buildingcontext.me. And she pays us a very, very strong compliment and says, to watch Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist manage every detail of the Control Trends Awards is a lesson in how to be the ultimate hosts. And we made it all happen on January 29th. But what she said, that there was a transition because the party, the atmosphere moved out of our hands on the stage and was owned by everybody in the room. So that's a very, very, very cool thing to say about it, because it means that the community is embracing our Control Trends Awards. And it's a sign that she thinks we have the ability to sustain the Control Trends Awards for a long, long time. And it's becoming a very important night on the eve of HR. So it's
It really is, Kenny. And I think we're both sort of still recovering from that. But, you know, as we've said on the show before, I mean, it really is. We think we got the greatest people in the world in our industry, and we think they're underappreciated. And so this is our Hollywood night, our glamour moment. So Kenny and I do everything we can to make this an event where we come and celebrate each other, our industry. And, you know, I think this year we really did hit it. It was a big crowd. It was awesome. I think we found the right venue, if you will, in the Hard Rock Cafe. And as a matter of fact, we've got it booked for next year, the Hard Rock Cafe, same Sunday night sort of venue. So that show should be bigger and better than ever, Kenny. And, you know, we're in the process of starting to post some of the videos now. We've been editing those. So that glamour moment is going to continue on as we begin to post the videos from the event. As a matter of fact, I got one I'll probably hopefully edit later on today, which is sort of the red carpet interviews we did. So we really ham it up with those. But it was a great show, Kenny. And you know, now we're both starting to relax a little bit and being able to reflect back on it. So we will be making adjustments every year. We take a period and we sort of evaluate what worked, what didn't work. So if you had some feedback for us on that, you know, now's the time to begin to put it out, because the man, the myth, the legend, the great host that he is already booked the venue for next year in Chicago on Sunday night at the Hard Rock in Chicago.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're going to change some things around. As you said, the whole thing about control trends is all about trends, and those trends change. And as the markets and as the solutions, products, and things change, so the control trends continuously evolve. We got some great comments on, you know, length and breadth of it. You know, like you said, the categories, some of the categories have lost maybe some of their germain or their importance, you know, or their prominence, because they're no longer the big trends anymore. So, I mean, it's a great thing to do to kind of, you know, keep refreshing and improving the Control Trends Awards. And like you said, we're already committed, but we haven't got our signed contract yet, but I think it's on its way, and it's a great venue. So
just, well, listen, and again, special thanks for me too to Therese Sullivan. She's one of the really, really great, wonderful people in our industry. She was up for the Control Trends Woman of the Year this year. She does a marvelous blog called buildingcontext.me. So please check that out. Therese is, I consider her a thought leader, Kenny, and she's got a perspective. She comes from outside of our industry, but she's been around technology for her entire career. She's been out in Silicon Valley, you know, a lot of the time. So she brings a fresh perspective, along with, you know, like our friend Josh Bradshaw as well. So Therese, we're very flattered by the article that Therese wrote. So thank you so much for that, Therese, and definitely check her blog out. And speaking of that, Kenny, I mean, let's talk about some of the great technology that came out of that. Our next post was on a company called Optergy. This is actually a promotional video that they have. We got some interviews from them at AHR, but they won the Light Commercial Solution of the Year Global. And tell us a little bit about Optergy, Kenny.
Love to. Optergy is a technology company dedicated to the business of managing buildings, facilities, and enterprises with tools to improve efficiency, performance, and processes whilst providing key stakeholders the information and reporting data to make strategic decisions. They combined these systems to improve the way the clients go about their business. For us, you know, we look at the Optergy's Aurora and Proton product solutions as opportunities to work our way into the small space, the small buildings, the middle-sized buildings, you know, because what it does is it does all the integration with the drivers. It does BACnet, Modbus, IP on both of them, LAN. It's coming in the future, SNMP's future, and KNX, the lighting folks. So it's a developing product, but they really have the small vision that you need for buildings, so that, you know, for tenant billing, utility billing, after hour billing, weather station included. You know, they do SMS alarming and acknowledgement, demand limiting. They do all the reports. They do end user web dashboard configuration, and this is all in one single product. You know, one single controller, and it really brings in the firepower of a much larger applications and the more expensive ones. This is something that now every building, small or big, can now afford a fabulous front end and interface. You know, so it's really good stuff.
It is great stuff, Kenny. And we have so many great players that are, we dubbed it the race to the small space several years back. We saw that as a trend. Companies like KMC with their Commander are going after that. Johnson's got a new product with their Verisys product. And of course, Honeywell sort of invented the race to the small space with their Light Commercial system that they've had around for years. So I think Optergy's a new one. We like to say coming to a continent near you. We say global because they're all over Australia. They're just now making their imprint in the U.S. So I think we'll hear a lot more of those guys. And speaking of global players and somebody else that has a very, very viable option to the race to the small space, you caught up with Mike Marsha from EZL last week in Pittsburgh, and we're going to take a listen now to your interview with Mike Marston.
Hi, this is Ken Smyers with Control Trends Awards, and I am actually here in Pittsburgh with the amazing Mike Marston, who's just completed a two-day training session here with EZIO with a group of contractors and users from the Pittsburgh area, Western Pennsylvania area. Michael, welcome to the Control Trends After Awards show. Congratulations on how well EZIO did.
Let's talk about your experience at the show.
Well, thanks, Ken. I'm still in shock, to be honest, because it's very flattering that we as a group or as a community, we got votes from 51 countries. And they chose us for four of the awards, which is just incredible. What is more incredible was getting the FG Plus, the Plant Control of the Year, for the fifth year consecutively. So a big thank you to everybody. We're very flattered by that.
Well, Mike, we just completed some training on that, and that's probably the most remarkable control. Every time I go through a training with you, I just am amazed at the features and benefits you've added to it. I mean, when you talk about one-stop shopping with a solution, that controller really does it all. Tell us about the most recent features and advantages.
I think the most recent features is we've added dashboarding at no extra cost. We've added all the widgets now and SQL histories and stuff that you can now data mine through your graphics. You can bring up CSV files. You can stream videos from other websites into ours.
Awesome.
And just really bang for buck, or buck for bang, whichever you say, I get it the wrong way around.
Bang for the buck.
Bang for the buck, there you go. Bang for the buck. It's a great deal. And we deliberately go to market that way. We're not trying to displace anybody else. It may happen from time to time, but the real goal is, let's make all those small buildings smart.
Mike, transitioning to some of the other things that are going on in the industry, you've certainly spent your time in the industry. How many years do you have in the HVAC industry?
Oh, I'm just trying to show my age now. I started when I was 21, and I'm now 55, so it's been a good 34 years, actually.
Right. Well, in behind us, that's a great pose with you and another great industry stalwart, Roger Ribanek. But that was for the PID award. You two gave out that award, and you're already a recipient. Tell us about the PID and what you think that what you can share with the community, what that means.
Well, again, I'm very flattered to have won it twice. Actually, I think I was joint one year, but anyway, it doesn't matter. This year, it was an honor to be with Roger, who was also. Been around a long time and done some great things. He's also won the award twice, I think, once or twice. But think about it. What I like about it is PID is a PID loop, right? But really it means, in this case, passion, integrity, and dedication. And those are three very important qualities that you need in life and you need in business. And we just try and do our best. You know, passion, I am passionate about what I do. Integrity, I believe I've got good integrity. I try and do the right thing by people.
Sure.
I have a saying, and that is that everybody has one chance. Don't make people earn your respect. Give it to them.
Right. You know? Well, it also includes professionalism, too. I mean, in other words, what the PID, I think, means to me is that there's been people that have given so much of their careers and so much of their lives dedicated to the control industry, and they're silent heroes that have made everybody's job a little bit easier. It's expanded our markets, and it's provided us the good living that we have. And I just think it's a great opportunity. The PID recognizes some of this incredible people that have really and truly put in over 30 years plus, made the industry what it is. It's about the EZIO experience, how many you were nominated for and how many you actually walked away with.
Well, it was... we ended up in the final for nine of the categories, and we got four of them. So four out of nine, I'll take that. That's pretty good. Thank you.
That's a great organization. Yeah. That's great people. I mean, so we had the
Plant
wireless controller of the year. Yeah. We had the innovative product of the year, and that was the FW14, yeah. That really caught everybody's attention. And then you had the technical support person of the year,
SK Fu.
Let's talk about each one of them. Talk about your FW14 series. And who's
well, the FW14 is all Wi-Fi based, but it's got a self-healing mesh. And it's also got built-in access point, client server. You can create your own network without even touching IT and have all the benefits of Wi-Fi, but you don't have to pay for it.
Right.
It's all there. It's incredibly cost-effective, though. We are going to probably surprise a lot of people just how powerful it is. Everything is live wire sheets, everything's fast, everything's BACnet IP. We've even put a client underneath them, so for a controller under $200, you can actually now control even other BACnet devices.
Well, that's innovation.
It's crazy.
Talk a little bit about EZIO Europe and Johan's program. What's going on over there?
Well, Johan, they are amazing. I mean, Johan is handling all of Europe and part of Middle East and part of South America, and he's just done an amazing job. And the arrangement we have between the two companies, that we are the owner of EZIO, but he owns that business independently as a franchise of EZIO. So it's the same as being joined at the hip, but it meant we got the growth very early, a few years ago, when we didn't, we never wanted to get VC money, we never wanted to get big overdrafts. So it was a way we could expand quickly without much risk.
Understood. You know? So let's talk about SK Fufra, the guy that's quiet, very nice, very modest, but very bright, and does a lot of heavy lifting behind the black curtain, sir.
He does, yeah. No, so he heads up our technical support team, but also our testing team. So he works very closely with R&D, and he's able to give us that feedback. First thing we want to know is, what's wrong with what we do? Tell us what does work and what doesn't work, mm-hmm. and tell us how often something doesn't work.
Right.
And there aren't that many things, actually, but he keeps a very good record of that when we start calculating mean time between failures and all that good stuff. But more importantly, on new product innovation, he's there telling us what's really important.
Tell us what's new and what's in the future for EZIO.
Lots of things. In fact, 2017 is quite a year for us. We're doing lots of parallel processing in developments with a huge emphasis on doing testing, because now we're going to be rolling out wireless products.
Cool.
But if you want to see all these things, come to Manchester United Football Stadium for our world event. You can ask me when it is now. I believe it's the 23rd of May, 22nd, 23rd of May. But Control Trends will be announcing it, and we've invited Control Trends to come
forward
and feature
to it.
So you've been to every one of our world events, and we really appreciate it.
Well, I tell you that, some of the things that we do in the industry, we work hard, but then again, that break, marvelous location, and then the networking with people, that's how we met folks from India, and we continue to grow, like you said, we're 52 countries that participated globally.
52, okay, yeah.
And EZIO's presence, tell us some of the countries that you're, we had this class here, we have a gentleman that's from Slovakia,
yeah.
We had another gentleman that has a house in Ireland, and tell us about where EZIO has been, particularly in the Baltic area.
Oh, Croatia, Slovakia, pretty much all the Baltic countries, the old Czechoslovakian countries, Yugoslavian countries. Latvia was the other one.
Right.
A lot of growth in those areas. We've got some very strong system integrators there. We're in Greece, we're in Madrid, in Spain. France now is picking up quite nicely. Norway is one of our biggest markets. Johan was just in Denmark the other day doing windmills, or the wind farms.
Amazing.
One of the world leaders in wind farms is from Denmark.
Wow.
They're called Vestas, and that's going to be very interesting. Every one of these towers actually has a control room inside them and a controller in each tower.
That's pretty cool.
And they're all networked together. It's really amazing how big those things are. But yeah, we're in a lot of countries. We're in Ireland, Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. And in any one day, I reckon I have emails with probably 20 different countries and phone calls.
Well, I noticed that today. It was incredible. Mike Marston had contact texting and emails with 6 out of the 7 continents. Isn't that amazing?
Correct, yeah. It's crazy.
So,
And by the way, next week we're in Australia. I fly to Australia tomorrow. That's going to be a nice long trip. But we're going to be training about 100 people in Melbourne and Sydney. And we're also in the process now. We already do FinStack EasyStack training, where we're a train the trainer. We're also now going to be certified to teach N4 as well.
That's really
as well
cool.
As FG and everything else. So,
well, then we're going to close this up, Mike. Anything else you want to share with our Control Trends community? Because we do have an exciting industry. It's getting bigger. We've got more technology. We're really wrapping ourselves around IoT.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I'm good with that for now. I think sometimes we can blow IT out of all context, and I think it's key to understand what two things are. What is IoT and what is analytics? They are definitely the future. It's here now, but one day I'd like to do a debate about what both of those mean from our perspective.
All righty. Well, we have something to look forward to. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
Well, great stuff, Kenny. Any final thoughts on Mike before we move on to the next post?
No, I get a kick out of Mike because of the passion. Obviously he's got, his life is, he's into the business so deep, but he actually made EZIO and his lifestyle, such a rewarding, incredible experience. He travels everywhere, and then he gets to a place, he's able to settle down, get organized, and then produce or put on a very incredible training program that's very beneficial. And, talk about a guy that loves a product and knows it from A to Z and just can get everybody on board quickly and just 1,000 challenges with all the windows and the different challenges. This guy can do amazing things behind a computer. So he's actually a guy that can walk the walk, talk the talk, sell it, manufacture it. He's got all those things just all great group of people at EZIO. So it's always fun. And again, he knows, because he travels and because he's all over the world, he's in Australia right now, he brings with him the news. He reminds me of Marco Polo. You know, he goes, if there's a new show somewhere, he's there. If there's a new, he was in every country in the old East Bloc area. He was telling us about Latvia. He was telling us about Romania and these places he has to see now because he travels to them. And then everywhere you got a building, you have a potential solution with an EZIO. FG32 and some of the other things that EZIO is bringing out. And again, EZIO is another one of those global products too, because EZIO Europe has their own product line A to Z now. They've partnered up with the folks over there in Holland to provide everything: valve actuator sensors, pressure transducers, DP switches, you know, just whatever you need in a building, they've got it now. So the EZIO is on the move.
Well, and when I think about Mike Marson, I'll always remember him and Roger Rebenek as they presented the PID Award singing, "You can't always get what you want." If you got to see the highlight video just to see those guys. So great, great guys. I mean, not many people can hang with Roger Rebenek, and I thought Mike did a great job with that. So good stuff there. And Kenny, then we got around, we had a presenting sponsor this year, BACnet International. And we put together their highlight video. It's one of the first, you know, videos that are going to be coming out. This gives you an example of what things might look like. So what do you think?
Look at these three magnificent faces behind my my left shoulder here. If you can give me a close-up there. We've got one of the Las Vegas, one of our stage performers there. Beautiful woman there.
You're talking about Andy McMillan being a stage performer? We can't see her, man. You got to move the other way. There you go. Okay. Now we see her.
Yeah. Right here. There you go. And then, of course, you got Andy Million. And then look at this beautiful guy here. That's Eric Stromquist. Huh?
That's Mr. Clean, man. Did you see it? By the way, did you see the Super Bowl commercial with Mr. Clean?
I did, making a move on the housewife. That was unusual.
Well, the housewife was all hot and bothered, and it turned out that she just liked him because he cleaned. So,
it was her husband. He was disguised there, but he was doing such a great job, and the chemicals affected her senses.
Well, it's funny because my wife, I went out the other day, and somebody said, you know, your wife looks just like Mariah Carey. And I go, she doesn't look like Mariah Carey at all to me. But anyway, we went home, and when Mariah Carey was skinnier, she and Anna look almost exactly alike. So I asked Anna, I said, well, who do I look like to you? And she goes, Mr. Clean. But she didn't get hot and bothered the way the one in the Super Bowl commercial did.
Great picture, though. Look at Andy. You talk about a guy enthusiastic and having a good time at the award show. That is certainly a great capture right there.
Yeah, it's a great capture for sure.
The BACnet International folks, it was a BACnet AHR show. I think there was so much going on with BACnet and BACnet International that it was just they were all laying down. They were all coming together like dovetails. We had the Blue Ridge Technology, of course, was the they had a VIP party prior to the Control Trends Awards, and they have a big presence in BACnet. They have a representative from Blue Ridge Technology on the international committee, and they featured BACnet in their product line, and then it was just another BACnet thing, another thing. But we got to see some great people in that organization. They recognized five of their award winners: the Rising Star, the BACnet Volunteer of the Year, the BACnet Member of the Year, the Project of the Year, and of course the BACnet Hall of Fame, Steve Bushby, who also was a Control Trends Hall of Famer. So it was a big night for Steve Bushby, and what an amazing job he's done in his career. And it's really great to see BACnet International and Control Trends give this guy his place in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed, Kenny. Agreed. And I tell you what, you know, that moves us to our next post. We actually, Ken Sinclair, we call him Notre Dame's Ken Sinclair, always on top of the trends. He has a connection community collaboratory every year at AHR, and we've been fortunate enough to be able to cover that. And so we've got a video of that in its entirety placed on Control Trends. But I tell you what, Kenny, we got Ken Sinclair on another line, so let's just bring him on to talk about that and other things. We have a Control Trends Hall of Famer as our guest this week. So without further ado, how about introducing our guest this week?
I'd love to, Eric. Man is, he's famous now. He's quite an athlete. He's a biker, a cross-country motocross biker with the pedals, not with the motor, but the... he's also a sailing expert, and he's also a building controls expert. We'd like to introduce Mr. Ken St. Clair, owner, editor of Automated Buildings.
Hey, Ken, welcome to the show, big dog. And hey, the other thing, Kenny, don't forget, he's an all-around cool guy. So let's get that, too.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good stuff. Ken, a lot of stuff has happened in the last 3 weeks, but we have to go back and revisit your collaboration at the AHR show. What was your thoughts on it? We'll have some comments on there after you open it up.
Well, it was a pretty amazing show. I guess you saw some of the results coming back there. That was like the biggest, one of the biggest shows ever, and that is really unusual for the west side of the continent. Chicago is usually the big show, but there was certainly energy in the air, and a lot of folks were wishing to engage in our topics of how we're going to crack this productivity piece and how people are linked to our future.
Right. Well, the panel was, we can just review real quickly, we had Andy McMillan, John Petsy, Mark Petock, Paul Oswald. We had Neil, I don't know his last name, from an ocean.
Cannon. Neil Cannon.
Neil Cannon, okay, and then Trevor Prommer, I'm sorry, from Distech. But it was an amazing cast again, a very formidable and knowledgeable people in the industry. And again, the assault began with Andy saying about in order to change something, you have to change behavior, and about the success of dashboards. But I thought that everybody there was a very serious attendee. In other words, there was quite a mix. I recognized some people from different manufacturers, and then systems integrators, and then just people that were very curious in what you were discussing and then leading the collaboratory that last session. What'd you think, Eric?
Well, I thought it was great. You know, Kenny, I think, power to the people. Again, Notre Dame Auto, our main man here, is always on top of it. And so, one of the questions that sort of was embedded in what was saying is, what good is technology without people, right? And so can your technology only be as good as your people that use it? And I think Ken just spot on again. And, we've had so much great emphasis on, incredible technology, which is, leapfrogging virtually every week or every day, but nobody really sort of stopped and paused and said, okay, well, what about the people part of this equation? Because I think your technology is only as good as the people that you have that employ it. So, Ken's right on again for sort of picking up on that trend. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about power to the people, power to the people, right on.
Yeah, no, that was great. Well, the first thing is I'm just extremely pleased that these industry thought leaders tolerate my naggings and actually come out to this event. It's a pretty amazing event to just get all of those folks in the same room and then to have them basically do their little roll their life up in 5 minutes, which is kind of an amazing task as well, and give some opinions as to where they think we're heading, and then to have them available to discuss. And the one that that broke out in the middle of the of your video there is the discussion on ethics. And I got to admit, that certainly wasn't on anybody's agenda, not my agenda, not any one of the panel people had we thought of talking to, the whole ethics of gathering this information and interacting with people's wellness and what that might mean from a privacy point of view. And I thought the dialogue was just totally amazing, because I think Control Trends is always looking for on stage script, and boy, that was pretty unstaged. And yet, some of the information exchanged was totally amazing. So I'm kind of a chaotic guy, and everybody in the industry kind of grits their teeth when I'm organizing something, because my style of organizing is unorganizing. And so it basically opened up some real good discussion, and I applaud everybody encourage everybody to get right through your total video and just watch the bantering going back and on, back and forth, about the ethics of the power of the people.
I got to hop in, Kenny, because I think again, Otto, I'm going to call you Otto, so we don't get everybody mixed up, but Ken Sinclair also goes by Otto. But, and I thought one of the great takeaways with that was, at least seemed like one of the dividing points was this for the overall good of the people? Like, for example, they were talking about K-12, And, you know, I think one of the gentlemen mentioned that, you know, some of the parents were upset when they found out they were using light tuning to improve performance. And I think some of the group said, hey, well, you know, if it's an overall, the purpose of the school, for example, is to have people perform better. So it seemed like maybe one of the sort of dividing lines is if it improves performance of people, aka schools, that's one thing. I mean, if we're getting manipulated in a store, you know, via lights or whatever, you know, to buy more beer or whatever, maybe that's a different take. But ethics in general in the IoT industry is just, you know, Kenny Smyers and I talk a lot about it, how we just don't know what's happening in terms of all the, you know, the craziness. I mean, you know, there was an instance Kenny and I talked about on the show about 3 or 4 weeks ago where somebody was using the Alexa Echo, right, as evidence in a murder trial, which would indicate that they're, if you're using an Echo, they're listening to what's going on with you. So, yeah, I think ethics is got to be right there at the top of the list.
All righty. Well, some of those ethical complexities were brought up were very interesting. Again, it was stepped outside where everybody thought the collaboratory was going to go because there were some very interesting thoughts about the human eclectic factor, what lighting, how light interacts with our biology, how it does directly influence purchases, and stores do capture that. They create a dusk environment, incites buying. Trevor mentioned how lighting calms children down. They've fairly well, you know, established that as you know, one of the metrics that you can measure. But what's really outside of anything I thought of before, I mean, it really introduced a new idea. But, you know, how technology gets applied is an economic-driven, you know, reality. So some people will have access to the technologies that can be provided to them before others, and how do we apply that equally? And how schools, everybody just assumes schools should be, you know, an optimum environment for children to learn. And then the thing that Eric mentioned, this whole thing with ethics, it goes from convenience of IoT to the creepiness of IoT. Somebody had mentioned that, you know, but we've got to have this interaction, and the industry has to help self-standardize itself and help self-regulate itself, or else how's a government going to come in and actually, you know, deal with this whole newness and this new technology?
Great. Now, the other point I think that was inside of all of that too, Ken, was the is basically the digital divide, and I kind of smiled because basically what it's going to happen is this may not be trawled out at the same rate to everybody because of economical connection and basically cloud connection and availability to these standards. Way back when we had our head right into the internet in the early days, we very quickly identified the digital divide, which was basically the children who had access to internet and the children who did not have access to internet. I mean, the difference was huge. And I think we're now back into that same arena where children that have access to cloud and basically interactions and systems that are looking out to them. And I think Brad made that point about that some of the inner schools in our cities may not be able to have some of these upgrades that are coming. So if wellness becomes a piece of the building, does it become an exclusive piece for the rich and famous, or does it get trawled out to the masses? So interesting. Ethics
sure was.
Is always an interesting discussion.
Yeah, and then he said about the thin line between invasion and opting in. It's a very thin line where the people that provide this IoT to us, you know, are invading in a privacy area where we're not inclined to realize we're being, you know, trespassed as far as our data and maybe our personal lives. But then, how many times we opt in without really knowing it by signing any of these EULAs and all the things, you know, click here to get the services, and you've just clicked away, you know, the entire amount of information that you generate. You become the product that becomes marketed. But I think that discussion really leads to a lot, because I mean, look what we're doing now. I think what you do, Ken, at the Collaboratorium, and just creating an environment for a lot of very intelligent people to be there and think about what's being said and then contribute to it, really moves the train down the tracks a lot faster.
Okay, and I think this is the direction that we've kind of chose to go in the last couple of months, is to we stepped out of our comfort zone and we walked over and we said, we're going to see if we can play this new game over here in the productivity field. And I think all of these problems and observations come with us doing that. And as we start to move into trying to quantify satisfaction, trying to quantify wellness, productivity, and innovation. Actually, this the assembly of this month's issue has been amazing, the amount of information that falls from the skies. I can never – I'm always totally amazed. I start off with a little idea in my head, and I think, gosh, I've just had this brand-new idea, and I'm going to spin it and try and create some interest for automated buildings. And somewhere, once I start to get it going, stuff just seems to fall out of the clouds. and it is totally amazing the amount of work that everybody has done on it and all the puzzle pieces that are out there. And in my goal to be a catalyst and a harbinger, I think this is exactly my job, is to pull all these pieces. I keep joking that my job now is to throw balls in the air and hope the industry catches some of them, any of them, and does something with them. So anyway, that's where we're at.
Well, Ken, I tell you what, again, you're spot on with it and the people resources. Now, you got quite a bit of experience. As a matter of fact, you've been accused of being a pseudo-millennial. So do you think there's a differentiation between, you know, the power of people that go with our generation versus the millennials? And if so, how does that sort of get harnessed, or how does it show up in practical step-by-step terms that our viewers and listeners can apply?
Actually, I wish we'd had taped a discussion Brad White and I had about voice commands, basically Amazon Echo, and I told him that I was buying a Google Home, which I actually have got now and am experimenting with and having lots of fun with, and it's like another dimension. But to him, he couldn't see, so we were billing him at AHR as the world's oldest millennium, and so he's on that edge of it. He could not see. He said, why would you ever talk to anything? I would never talk to anything. And yet my granddaughter talks to everything. When she does her Google searches, she talks to Mr. Google and asks him where this particular video she's looking for, and she basically navigates by voice. So what I'm kind of excited about in that analogy is that the voice might be the medium which will allow us to kind of start pulling the various generations together. Although it ironically looks like the millennials will be strong resistors to voice because they're so plugged into their phones. They use voice, but they use it differently. They're basically the text and the quick searches and anything they want, they can get from their phone very quickly. So yeah, there's some interesting dynamics evolving.
Well, I'm starting to use the voice now, too. My wife and I were watching television. We've got Roku, we've got Netflix, we've got all this other stuff, and you have to pick up different things, and I haven't been able to get them all working off of one control. So now I could just use the one control that has the voice control and say, you push down on the button and talk to it like a microphone, find this station, find this show, and whatever. And it's amazingly accurate, and I don't see how you can resist using this technology. I think your car – you won't be allowed to use your phone. I mean, they're going to come down real hard now with texting and all the other stuff, driving. And before they have the autonomous cars, I think you're going to be telling, everything. You'll just, bring your phone inside the car and just say, call Eric or call Ken St. Clair, and you'll just become – it'll become second nature.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say my devices talk back to me, so I don't talk to them. We fight all the time.
that's why it's going to work, Eric. Can you imagine a personal assistant that actually does what you ask it to do?
I'm telling you.
But the other piece just like Google Home, when you take it out of the box, it starts talking to you and tells you what it has to do and what you need to do. You need to load down this app and go here, do that. And the other thing that's starting to evolve in all of this is the devices talking to other devices and basically making – they're starting to share resources. I have one of these smart watches, and it does an amazing job of communicating with the phone. And when I go for a bike ride, I tell it, you know, start cycling. And so it basically records, and then it talks to me when I'm cycling and tells me my heartbeat and all that kind of stuff. So it's we're starting to see the devices are getting smarter. They're self-learning, and they interact with each other. They play nicely together.
Well, that's the thing that's coming down the road, and I think now we take that and we move that into the building space, we move that into automation and controls and sensors, and I think that's what you're going to say. You're going to the contextualization of all the gadgets that we have are going to be seamlessly, played nice with in the building. So the days of sensors are going to be people. Everything you've got is going to be feeding into some system that's curious of where you're at, what you're doing, if you're happy, cold, or whatever. And 20 years from now, you can have a very interesting environment inside of buildings where the lights and everything are so optimally applied and energy efficient that it's going to be a very interesting world.
Actually, another conversation that came up yesterday just got me flat-footed was what wires would you put in a new home?
Great question.
That's such a simple question, but all of a sudden, in light of what we were just talking about, Chromecasters and Google Homes and Alexa's, all of these devices, and basically the answer is almost only power wiring. Switch wiring doesn't really go into a new home because that's all going to be done Wi-Fi. Some interesting things. There'll be an argument that we need something when the Wi-Fi dies, but it's probably to the point that we can afford to have redundant local Wi-Fi, which I think we'll see evolving as well.
Nice.
Yeah, like I would see that you just basically have twin routers, and when the internet disappears or anything that you're using, any sophisticated stuff, that you actually just have, which would be probably a self-backup of the resources it needs to implement local control. That being said, our control loops, I still go back to the article that was written by Toby Considine about clouds and rain, and in there he says that we should not break apart our control loops over the internet or put them in the clouds. They have to remain on the ground. So all of our backnet protocols and stuff, they need to be on the ground. Some of the sensing might be able to be wireless, but they have to be self-sufficient completely, so you can completely remove the access to the cloud, and they still got to operate and still control that boiler, chiller, all of that. So I think the word he uses is IP is non-deterministic. So we need to have a deterministic relationship.
Very, very cool. Well, Cam, what can you tell us about the March issue? When's it going to hit the streets, and what's it going to be all about?
Well, as always, it'll March. We always try to have it out on the first day of the month, and that's been a rule for us. The reason for that is to finally get people to finish their articles, because if we didn't have that, they would say, can you give me two more days, and we would be like every other magazine and putting out our February issue in April. So we're very hard on that, so we just all of a sudden it's going out. We're going online tomorrow, so you're in the next month's issue. So it does help us nag the industry along. So that's the timing on it. The title is Engaging Satisfaction and Wellness. We seem to be getting a lot of interest we had a good result last month with productivity, satisfaction, and deployment. We're actually moving over 5,000 visits a day average. So that's some days, I should say. But our average visits are up. I think what's happening is because of what we're writing about, we're appealing to a little larger audience than just building automation. But I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to build a bridge. So we got to go to the other side every once in a while to make connection of that bridge.
Right. And I also see, Ken, that you're already preparing for your April because you have do your homework for the IoT Day, April 9th. What's your theme on that?
Yeah. Okay. I've joined this IoT Council. It's a European effort, and it's just basically a bunch of IoT folks that just talk about absolutely everything and how it's going to come to play and smart cities, smart cars, smart everythings, and they often talk about the ethics of it. And so I found them a great resource in connecting me to stuff that I would have never been able to see from where I was. And I think that's what I'm encouraging our industry to do, is I'm encouraging our industry to rather than avoiding this IFT thing, I want you to kind of run right into it. And it's not that complicated. You know, we don't have to understand exactly how it works, but we just have to understand the pieces of it. And it's slowly winning us over. There's no doubt. As you mentioned, you asked for it to play certain movies, and I'm doing the same. And so we're starting to use that functionality, which would have been mind-boggling 10 years ago. So we need to get in and see how we could best use that technology in our industry. And so this is just something, a little event they have, which is called IoT Day. I don't have it in front of me, so it's April.
April 9th, yeah. I'm on their website, and you're right. It is very interesting. And I think that if you want to get more savvy and understand the impact. In other words, a lot of people, when we talk about IoT, they've dismissed it already with it being like, it's so pervasive that it's almost hard to talk about. It's like data. You know, when we first talk about data and the overwhelming data, and then we came in with actionable data, and we kept refining the terms of data until they made sense to us. So I think IoT, I don't think many people, other than the millennials and the people starting out with iPhones in their hands at, 4 or 5 years old, understand just how the incredible potential and the incredible lightning changes that are in store for us. And by visiting these sites and just getting a couple minutes a day, or just, following an angle or something that interests you, you're going to understand how IoT, you'll be able to understand it and use it better in your own life. So it's just a great, it's a great connection to the IoT Day, April 9th.
I have enough people to fix things. And I think You guys, as well as I, know that's absolutely true. Any building you go into, there's just a backlog of stuff that needs to be fixed. And we don't have the economics to fix it for some reason. And if it starts to play into this productivity piece and wellness and satisfaction, all of a sudden it's we convince the CEO that he can't afford not to fix it. All of our service people and people who are installing more points, and I think also analytics begat in analytics. So once we found these problems and we came up with solutions and identified the economical viability of fixing some of this stuff, that will, of course, just more analytics. So those discussions need to occur with a bunch of control guys drinking beer, that this isn't going to kill you unless you ignore it. If you ignore it, yeah, it could kill you. But if you actually understand what it is and you start to use it in dispatching your service trucks, coming up with methods of sending robots out to do some of these tasks, and basically taking complex problems and putting them back to your specialists and becoming, you know, an IoT-enabled contractor. I think that's a big part of it.
Hey, Ken, real quick, before we hop off, thanks again for inducting our Hall of Fame inductee this year, or one of them. And what was your take on the Control Trends Awards?
That was great. Just a lot of good energy in the room. We're getting so many things going on. It's getting to be a bit long. We try to get the ladies out, and unless they're ladies that are in the industry, but for spouses and stuff, it's sort of we're going over and over all these awards. So I think we're going to have to make it a little more exclusive to try and control the length of it. But wow, a lot of energy in the room. I think the other thing was seeing the companies using it the way you'd intended it, to basically pull together their dealers and their key clients, and it's becoming something that folks want to go to. I'm really glad you've chose the Sunday night. That works out extremely well. It allows it doesn't interfere hardly at all with the mechanics of everybody's busy schedule at AHR. So, it was a great event. And thank you very much for you really caught me as I figured, oh, my God, we got two people we're inducting in this year. There's absolutely no way. And anyway.
Well, Ken, you was well deserved, buddy. I mean, you know what? Kenny and I have. We make no secret about it. We have tremendous amount of respect for what you do and the value you create in the industry. And we consider you not only a mentor, but a friend. So that's out of all the Control Trends events, that was one of at the top for, I think, both me and Ken, is having you come in the Hall of Fame, especially with you. Well, there you go. Listen, we're going to have to hop off, but our guest this week has been Ken Sinclair, the owner editor of automatedbuildings.com. Check out the February issue. The March issue is hitting the street soon. And, hey man, that's who Ken Smyers and I check out when we need information. Our friend, Control Trends Hall of Famer, Ken Sinclair. Thank you so much, Ken. Have a great rest of the day.
Bye, Ken.
Thank you very much.
As usual, great stuff from Ken Sinclair. And hey, Kenny, speaking of AHR, man, you got an interesting post, last post of the week. Tell us about the AHR show this year.
Well, this was a fresh release out of Westport, Connecticut. And I'll tell you what, the International Exposition Company announced today that the 2017 AHR Expo in Las Vegas broke three of their all-time records. It was the largest size-wise. They had over 500,000 square feet, topping the 486,000 net square feet when was that? 2015 in Chicago. But what really impressed me, we knew that was a busy place. 68,615 people attended the 2017 AHR in Las Vegas, topping the 61,000 that was in 61,674 from Chicago, again, 2015. So I think at the end of the day here, and then they say the 48,000 total number of visitors. So I guess the 68,000 is total, manufacturers, vendors, exhibitors. The 48,568 are attendees. So for the vendors, they really got their money's worth, because it was the busiest show I've ever seen. I mean, you literally it was wall to wall people, and the transactions going on. I know the things that we had to do, the meetings we went to, and some of the interviews that we'll post later. There's a lot of excitement about the technology that's getting applied to new products. It's new. So I was looking forward to the 2018 in Chicago. And of course, we've already mentioned we're going to be there the night before at the Control Trends Awards. So good stuff.
Yes, we are, Kenny. And I tell you what, I just want to leave you with power to the people. Power to the people. That was John Lennon wrote that song, wasn't it?
Sure was.
In fact, Ken Sinclair's version is Power of the People. Power of the People, right on. So a special thanks to Ken Sinclair this week. And also, Kenny, marvelous job with your interview with Mike Marson. So appreciate him taking some time to talk with us. So with that, buddy, I tell you what, we got to get on with our week. So thanks so much for tuning in. So remember, be bold and stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers. And that's a wrap.
In the books. Okay, cool. Books, so to speak, right? Right.